welcome to St. Paul Worship as we gather in our Lord's house this day. It is a joy and a privilege to have you here with us at St. Paul. Our first announcement will be concerning the church picnic. The church picnic sign-up is available for us in the Narthex area. Check that out if there's ways in which you can
donate or give of your time. Those are wonderful ways to contribute for our fellowship opportunity here at the church. That sign-up is available in the Narthex. Many of you have taken a look at that. I continue to encourage you to do that. We have a great fundraiser going on currently for our youth. Our high school youth will be heading to Houston this coming summer, and so one of the final fundraisers for them is an envelope wall, and that's available here at church in the Narthex. That envelope wall is simply a blank envelope, and on that envelope is marked a dollar amount, and congregation members are asked to support the youth, and in doing so, they'd love to thank you for your support. So if you could include a name or drop it in the mailbox at in the office for Mrs. Tracy or in the offering envelope, we can also credit that to your giving statement as well. National Day of Prayer will take place on May 5th. So Thursday, May 5th, we're coming up to that. There are prayer cards available on the Welcome Center desk. Grab a prayer card, fill it out, put it in the basket. Those prayers will be prayed over on the Day of Prayer. Here at St. Paul, you're invited to come from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., certainly not the whole time, but you can come and go as you want, or for a short 5 minutes, or however long you desire, come into this quiet sanctuary, join in a time of prayer throughout that day, and we will have various things that you could pray over or for or give thanks for, but come and reflect and pray if you so desire on May 5th. We have confirmation orientation for our parents. That will take place on May 18th, a little different routine this coming year as we get ready for next year already, and kind of beat the summer rush of things. Our parents are asked to join us at 6:30 on May 18th for that orientation for any student that will be involved in confirmation classes here at St. Paul. This orientation is for them. Our opening hymn is 483, With High Delight, Let Us Unite, and the bell will call us to worship, and then we'll join in singing our opening hymn. you please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We have come here to worship our great God. However, in our sinful condition, we cannot get near to Him. Let us confess our sins to God and to one another. I confess to you, Heavenly Father, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in my thoughts, words, and actions. I am unable to save myself, to turn from my errors, and to atone for my sins. I plead to God for grace and mercy. By the grace of God, there is one who is worthy to take our request for forgiveness to God's throne of grace. Jesus Christ alone is worthy, for He is God's own Lamb and has ransomed us from our sins by dying for us and rising in glory. He declares us to be saints, able to go to God in all confidence, and priests, offering our prayers for one another and all people. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. upon. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, through the sacrifice of your Son on our behalf, you made us worthy to approach you in confident faith. Help us by your Spirit to give you all the praise each day in what we think, say, and do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may please be seated.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus called Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Revelation to St. John chapter 5. Then I saw him in the right hand of him who is seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scrolls and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed God, people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Will you please rise for the Alleluia in verse? The gospel lesson will serve as the basis for the sermon meditation, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was how this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We join in making confession. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn is 688, "Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake."
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you. Easter peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. That word of God which engages our hearts and our lives this day is taken from the gospel reading just read, John 21, verse 11. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. This, dear friends, is our text. Well, what is Easter? Is it just a day? Is it just a season that comes and goes? Or is it a complete way of life? What is Easter in the life of God's people? We just celebrated that great and glorious feast of the church. Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that celebration, we experience God's incredible love for us. How does this incredible Easter love of God inform and transform our everyday lives? How does it shape our identity in Jesus Christ? Well, we're in the season of Easter, and the gospel writer of John presents us with a unique and quite out of the ordinary story in this season of Easter. It seems like what we are told in John chapter 21 might be about as far from Easter as you could get. A story of fish? What does that have to do with our salvation and the hope of Easter? Well, there's only one way that this story can be described, and it is that of the miraculous catch of fish. I would like to see some of you fishermen have a day on the water like these guys had. Well, maybe you have before. Maybe you've come up empty-handed. Maybe you've had experiences where you've spent lots of time, maybe not all night, but you have come up short. This story, by the numbers, is quite unimpressive. 7 disciples, 1 boat, 1 night of fishing, 0 fish to show for their efforts. What is going on here? And we do know that later on, the net becomes full and overflowing with fish. 153 does make its way into the list of numbers. But we ask ourselves, why this story? Why are we told this as somewhat of an epilogue to the whole resurrection account? Why include this? What is the purpose? Last week, those words are fresh in our head, aren't they? These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Well, there is only one who gives life. Only one who has the authority over death to take life again. Only one who could put life into the empty nets of those disciples with his commands. First, the call and the question, and then the call to action. Jesus first questions. They question what's going on. First, the disciples find themselves conversing with someone on the shore. They don't recognize this individual at first, but Jesus brings them a question. Friends, you have any fish? Have you caught anything? Are your efforts enough? Are the disciples finding themselves wondering if they've got it all put together? Their friend on the shore reminds them that indeed, they do not. These are fishermen who are supposed to know the ways of fishing. That's what they've done. Before Jesus calls them, they're on the water, they're familiar with it, and sometimes you swing and a miss, and sometimes you don't find the fish. Even professionals have to work to find those fish. But in this season of Easter, what best efforts or self-efforts are we turning inward to? And how has that caused us to fall away from faith in Christ? How has it caused us to fail to recognize him? When we look at our own efforts and our own work, how does that put a wall between us and what Christ is looking to accomplish in our lives? Well, this isn't the first time this happens in the gospel lessons. People who fail to recognize Jesus, we might say, yeah, we do that. but also those in the text did that as well. Mary turning around thinking he was the gardener. The travelers on the road to Emmaus burned, their hearts burned within them as they pondered who this person was. And then when he broke bread with them in their midst at the end of his time, they realized who it was. And the disciples, not knowing at first who it was that was talking to them. This all, dear friends, is code for something in John's gospel. This is code for darkness. The darkness has them. They're fishing in the dark. They're groping in the dark. They're finding their way in the dark. They're looking for something in themselves in the dark. We too are not far off. But then this one at daybreak speaks to them. His question to them, friends, you don't have any fish, do you? Might be a little salt in the wound, but they just spent the night short and coming up with nothing. So the disciples are going back to what they're familiar with. And as they go back to their craft, they go back to the boat and the shore and the sea, the Apostle John paints a pretty bleak picture of experts who on their own fail to supply what their needs are. They fail to supply what their needs demand. Not only is this a picture of their lives, but this is also a picture for us too. It really is a picture of life. It's a picture of life without Christ. This doesn't mean that when we have Jesus in our lives, we're going to have absolutely everything we ever desired, everything we worked for, everything we asked for. No, with Jesus, it doesn't mean that he's the genie you go to for prosperity and success just because you have faith. No, Jesus came to do something more fully for his disciples. He came to give them a full net of fish. Now, the number isn't what is important. 153 is a great number if you're a fisherman, I would imagine. I'm watching a lot of Deadliest Catch these days, and king crab season, they want high numbers. They want pounds. I'm sure as a fisherman, 153 would knock your socks off, but don't get caught up in the number. The number is just a number. What really matters is that Jesus provides complete fullness. He provides something for them that they could not provide for themselves. This Jesus rising from the dead gives life where there was none. He provides a fullness for them in a miraculous way, ways beyond measure and ways beyond understanding. We can take that into our lives too, can't we? Jesus provides fullness for us in ways we will never fully understand, whether it's going through the death of a family member or a friend or a loved one. Jesus, how will you provide fullness for me in ways that I do not understand? Maybe it's going through transition in life, change. Maybe it's questioning the things of our faith and what we've always been brought up with. Jesus provides fullness for us in ways that are miraculous and beyond our understanding. And so not only does John paint a picture of the bleakness of life on our own, but John also paints that picture of a fullness of life. The full net. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the full net of fish. It probably supplied their needs in ways they couldn't even begin to understand. But it really comes from them listening to the Savior's voice. When they heeded his command and let down their nets exactly where he commanded them to do so, they found out that they were being taken care of by the very hand of God. Quite a remarkable instance. The disciples relying on the words of Christ, taking him, even though they don't know it's him, at his word, and recognizing that it is the Lord. John recognizes it and tells it to Peter. Peter stripped down. He puts on something to get in the water and to swim to Jesus because the light came on, the eyes are open, and he now recognizes. What does it mean to continually live in Easter? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, we take from this story, it means you go from dark to light. You go from identity that is found in yourself to an identity that is found in God and Him alone. And so when we're struggling with that, this Jesus reminds us that He makes us whole through His death and resurrection. He makes us go from wanting and lacking to having everything that we need and then some. This Jesus provides a full net of fish for these disciples. 153. It's the number that reminds us Jesus commands the forces of nature. Jesus does things that are beyond the ability of any ordinary person. Jesus does extraordinary things in our lives too, like calling us to repentance. Pretty extraordinary. In the waters of baptism, God does something pretty extraordinary in those waters too. He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He gives to us something that we could not give to ourselves, and that is the love of God for us. He gives us a robe of Christ's white righteousness that covers us. In baptism, we are made His child, and we are an heir of all of God's promises. Talk about a fullness. Like a bridegroom, Jesus speaks to His bride. Tenderly, confidently, affectionately, Jesus gives fullness to our lives in three simple words. I love you. I love you. Words that Jesus speaks to His disciples as He demonstrates His love for them by dying for them, by giving to them the things of their daily lives, by even restoring Peter back to the fold. I love you. Well, two summers ago, I was on a plane headed from Minneapolis to Salt Lake City, Utah. And on the plane, you could choose different movies to watch or documentaries. And I chose to watch the documentary on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Fred Rogers. And the documentary was fascinating. Every day, I learned in that documentary that Mr. Rogers went swimming at a local athletic club. And after he swam his mile, he would get out of the pool, step on the scale, and the needle would jump to his weight, of course, and his weight was 143. Quite unremarkable at first until you realize what that numerology meant to Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He had his own way to look at that number. The 1 in 143 for him stood for the letter I. The 4 stood for L-O-V-E, and the 3 stood for Y-O-U. So every time he stepped on the scale and it read 143, that was like a confirmation of everything that he stood for. I love you. What if 153 stood for something? Go with me a little bit here on this. 1, I. 5, serve. 3, you. What if that helps us to understand this God who serves us and then calls us to 153 someone else? I serve you. Peter, do you love me? Well, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. I serve you, Peter, so that you can serve me and serve the church. And these aren't just words for Peter. Yes, in a historical context, Peter is the one being spoken to, but in the life of God's church, the bridegroom has so loved his bride that he calls her to serve because he has loved her. He has given his life for her. He has restored her identity and called her to be his very own. And guess what? You are a part of that bride. You are a part of his church. You are called out of darkness. You are called from sin to forgiven. You are called from death to life, from Easter dull to Easter joy. This is the life we have in Him. And Jesus fills us with His Holy Spirit, and that Spirit calms our troubled heart. So where are we going to go? Well, Jesus sends Peter out into the world to be a fisher of men. So too, God's church sent out, whether it's into the office or into the field, or into the classroom, or into the bus, or wherever it happens to be. We are sent out so that we could have full nets for Christ as we proclaim the glorious hope we have in the resurrection, that others may believe, I serve you. How are you going to live out that this week? How are you going to continue to have an identity rooted in Jesus? What is the season of Easter? It's an everyday identity for God's people now and always, because Jesus gives us his life. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. Amen. We rise as we continue with the prayer of the church. Let us pray for ourselves, for all members of the body of Christ as we proclaim his resurrection, and for all people in their various needs. Gracious God, hear us for the sake of your own Lamb, for worthy is the Lamb. Guide your church, Lord Jesus, as she witnesses to your victory over sin and death. Direct all who announce the gospel promised of eternity in your presence, and protect all the newly baptized as they grow in understanding your love. Gracious God, hear us for the sake of your own Lamb, for worthy is the Lamb. Grant favorable weather, Lord our God, that crops produce bounty and famine be blessed. Remove the shackles of people suffering from injustice and oppression. Surround them with caring instruments of your love. Accompany first responders at home and armed forces deployed, that peace and harmony may break out in all levels of human society. Gracious God, hear us for the sake of your own Lamb, for worthy is the Lamb. And Heavenly Father, we also want to give thanks to you for the calls given yesterday for vicars and candidates from the seminary at St. Louis, and for call day at Fort Wayne's Theological Seminary. We pray that your church be blessed by men and women who serve in the kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to send workers into the harvest, that all may come to know this precious saving truth of the gospel and live that out in lives of service and bold witness for you. O Holy Spirit, be among us here in this place and wherever your people gather around word and sacrament. In your mercy, give us strength and opportunity to grow in love toward one another and in service to our communities. We pray for those near and dear to us. Grant them health, healing, and comfort. And be with those we name before you on our hearts in a moment of silent prayer. Gracious God, hear us for the sake of your own Lamb, for worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your heart. the Lord with all my heart.